This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. A good number of us can remember when getting a book from a library was like being part of a special ritual. It had its own tools and language, the Dewey Decimal System, and those very long drawers filled with note cards. Then, of course, there was that last step, a librarian who'd stamp the inside cover so you'd know how long you could keep the book, and often a list of dates going back years and even decades that point to all the readers who came before you. For library patrons today, that system is a bygone. People now access library collections on their tablets or phones through platforms like Libby and Hoopla. While this has meant new avenues for content access for borrowers, it has also created new challenges for libraries. Earlier this month, the St. Louis County Library System announced revised limits on how many items can be placed on hold through these platforms. That communication revealed that the library is already spending half its collections budget on e-media, and the library expects demand to go in one direction, and that is up. To talk about these changes and how libraries are working to keep up with tech and growing demand, I'm joined by St. Louis County Library Director, Kristen Sorth. Kristen, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, Kristen, we mentioned in the intro an email, and on January 10th, the St. Louis County Library emailed its patrons with new rules around e-media. Kristen, how is it that e-media became such a big part of the library's operations in the first place?
Well, I think the emphasis on e-media and the popularity of e-media was growing before the pandemic, and then it kind of leveled off. And then when the pandemic hit and people couldn't come to the library and couldn't go places to access materials, print materials, then the popularity of e-media just grew so much. And at the same time, not only ebooks, but audiobooks. You know, I think that both of those became so popular during that time. And then once people realized how convenient it is, especially like if you're reading a bunch of books and you have them all on your tablet or your Kindle, they really embraced it, and it's here to stay. And I love it too. You know, I'm a person, I like to read both. You know, I have lots of people who say, well, I like to read, I like to hold a book, and I do too, but I really enjoy reading on a tablet.
How ready were you all when that big surge in demand came about with the pandemic?
We were pretty ready. I think we knew that we had to make sure that people could still access the resources that we had. And so we did a pretty robust campaign to tell people, you know, the library may be closed physically, but here's all the things and the ways that you can connect with the library online. And so we really promoted ebooks, audiobooks, our databases, anything that we had. You know, we switched to virtual programming. We had really great success with our virtual programs, and we still have them today. That's another thing. I think the convenience of being able to watch a program from home for some people who, you know, accessibility is always an issue for people. And so we were ready. It was definitely a solution to how do we stay connected to people. So we were ready. That doesn't mean it doesn't come with some decisions that need to be made as well.
Now, the library is setting limits or revising its limits on how patrons are accessing e-media through Hoopla and Libby, which are a couple of these platforms. And the change is related not to what the library wants to provide, but what it can, considering the cost. How is it that the library pays for these services, Kristen?
Well, e-media is part of our collection budget, like you mentioned in the beginning, and it's really about half of that budget goes to e-media. And we are a tax-supported organization, and so that makes up a huge portion of our budget, and that funds our collection budget. So that's how we do it, and we budget accordingly, and we try and project out and get a sense of where we may be going each year, and those help us make the decisions that we're making in terms of the budget. And in terms of making some of these changes, we are one of the last libraries in the state really that hadn't made some changes like this, and we had some pretty high limits for holds and simultaneous checkouts, really more than any other library. So we looked at our peer libraries around the country, and then we also looked at libraries in Missouri as well before making these decisions.
Okay. I'd also like to invite you to the conversation. How has e-media changed your reading or listening habits, and has that in turn changed your relationship to your local public library? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK, or you can send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So you were talking about the cost, how these things are paid for, these services. And you had mentioned about half of the collection budget is going to e-media. Is there something, however, that is important to understand, for the public to understand, about the way the library pays for these items compared to the way that it purchases a physical book?
Yeah, that's so important, and it's definitely at the heart of this conversation. So, the best way to explain that, I think, is to give an example. So, The Women by Kristen Hannah, which is a wildly popular book, and we have lots of holds on it, both physical copies and ebook copies. If you were to get the ebook, it's $14.99 for you to get the ebook onto your device. For us, it's $60. So there is a significant difference between what the consumer pays and what the public library pays. And then those high prices also come with what is called metered access, and that happens for about 80% of our titles. And that means that we have to repurchase e-media after a certain period of time or a certain number of checkouts. And it's usually, it can be 1 year or 2 year. And that is so different than the traditional library structure of we buy a print book. We buy The Women, and it sits on our shelves and gets checked out by thousands of people. And then when we need a new copy because it's worn and well loved, then we just buy it and it goes back in. This is just a very different structure, and it means that ebooks are more expensive.
To what extent have librarians been fielding questions about this since the January 10th email went out?
Well, we actually have we have a place where people can make public comments, and we have overwhelmingly had positive comments about the change. I think we were really intentional about how we explained the changes that we were making and talked about how this really only impacts a really small amount of our patrons, 3% for the Overdrive changes, for the Libby changes, and about 10% for the Hoopla users. So people, I think, really appreciated understanding why we did this. We always try and tell people why we're doing something. And a lot of people came back and said, I had no idea the difference in a consumer's purchase of an ebook versus a library. So we've had really positive comments, and people that a very understanding of the choices that we were making.
And to the point about the reception by the public, we have Eric, who is calling from St. Louis County. Eric, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you very much. And Director, your program is really a jewel in the crown of our community. I use it on a regular basis, and I'm very proud of your work in really supporting the community in many different ways and going beyond the just normal thing of lending out books to people, whatever the social services, for instance. If people need help, I've referred a number of people to your organization for that very reason. And I'm wondering what else we can do for you to help you beyond this issue. I know that you have a foundation. We can give you money, but I'm very proud to have my tax dollars going to support your organization. And how else can we help you in your work?
Eric, thank you so much. And Kristen, what do you say in response to that?
Yeah, I mean, that is fabulous to hear. And I think we talk about the pandemic a lot, and we talk about e-media and how that grew during the pandemic. And certainly the role of the public library grew as well during the pandemic. And we always say that we stood up during that time and we've stayed standing to really support the community in a variety of ways. So, of course, the library has a foundation and they have a website. So you can go to the St. Louis County Library Foundation's page to you can become a friend. You can make a donation, but I think telling people and being an ambassador for the library is very important. So I love it when I hear from people who say that they see what we do, and I think it's good to talk about that with your peers and your family, and to talk about really how much a library can do for individuals and refer them. So money and support is always awesome, but being an ambassador and talking about the good work of all public libraries is really, really great as well. And come see us. If you haven't been to the library in a long time, I would encourage you to go. It is not perhaps what you might expect from the library of your youth. And we just opened the Clark Family Branch, and it's so amazing. You can do your history and you can do your genealogy there. We have a teen space with a recording studio and a green screen. You know, we have all kinds of amazing things for people.
On the note of donations, it can be in the form of money, but we have Dave, who is calling from De Pere, with a question regarding donations. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
I have an Audible.com subscription. I've had it for several years, so I've got quite a collection of audiobooks. And when I got it, I was trying to make it clear with the Audible people, and I said, so this is mine. I mean, this is like I own the book on my shelf. And they said, yes, that's yours to, you know, give to someone else, share with someone else, donate to someone else, whatever you want to do with it. But one time I did ask someone at the St. Louis County Library about possibly doing that, and the poor woman just got this horrified look and went, oh, my God, no, we can't do that. That's illegal. Like, we can't even talk about it. And so I'm just wondering, when the time comes, instead of just letting this stay in the cloud and just be in the ether and no one's using it, may I donate my Audible.com subscription to St. Louis County Library? Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. Dave, thank you so much for that. Kristen, do you have any insight you can share about that?
You know, that's such an interesting question. I can say without a doubt that I have never had that question before. I don't know the answer. I think I need to think through that. That's really interesting concept, and I really appreciate you bringing that up. I made myself a note, and I'm going to check on it.
Yes. Thank you, Dave, for calling with that. We were talking about the impact of e-media on local library systems, and I'm here speaking with Kristen Sorth, who is the director of the St. Louis County Library. Kristen, You are among the leaders of many different libraries who are facing the same challenges. And over the summer, St. Charles, the library board president there announced that its financial outlook was unsustainable, and the library board considered a plan to close three of its branches. And that was in part because of the library patrons checking out e-media, not physical books. There was considerable pushback from the public, and that plan is now on hold indefinitely. I mean, do you think that there's any possibility that if these prices keep rising and the demand keeps growing, that St. Louis County Library could also be facing the same very difficult kinds of decisions?
Well, you know, I can't really speak to St. Charles, but for us, we are the center of everything we do is to be good stewards of tax dollars. And so we are looking ahead and doing budget projections ahead. And I do not see us coming to a point like of having a conversation about closing branches because of budget issues. I think we are pretty conservative in the way we budget and the way we look ahead. And so we try to be very proactive about what mm-hmm. we're doing. And so this is, a first step in that and being super proactive.
Okay.
We've been really trying to
we'll have
avoid
to stop
this
there.
For a while.
Yep, we'll have to stop there. But thank you so much for talking with us today.
Sure.
This episode was produced by Danny Wissentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.